Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
As you can gather from the three guys that came and gave a bit of testimony, the last 40 days for all the guys involved in Stronghold has been a life-changing time. And it's the beginning of something new. It's not the end of something and what's next. It's really the beginning of a fresh breakthrough for every man that was involved in it. And the most important thing about having a breakthrough is you don't stop there. You know, when you have a breakthrough, that means you break into something, into a place that you weren't before. And then you've got to walk in that new place. You've then got to see fulfilled everything that that breakthrough has now taken you into. And so there's a lot of possession to be done. There's a lot of taking hold of things to take place. There's a lot of fruitfulness that comes from a breakthrough. The breakthrough itself is not fruitfulness. It's what comes after a breakthrough that is fruitful. So, you know, the most dangerous thing in our lives is when something's going well, we then slightly take our foot off the pedal. When you have a breakthrough, that's the moment to then keep your foot flat to the floor in terms of what God is doing. So that you then come fully into everything that God intended that breakthrough to lead to.
Yes.
Amen. So all the guys here, we're going to continue. The units of four or five guys are going to continue. And all the discipleship going on is going to continue. The spurring each other on and all of that lot is going to continue. Because it's not the end of something. It's the beginning of something new that God is doing. So we're going to look at a few things this morning, and this is part one. Part two will be on Tuesday morning at the keynote, so you're going to have to listen to that some point in the week. Is that all right? Because Jane and I are not here next weekend. We're up in Yorkshire with the church up there and doing a conference up there. So I could have done part two next week, but it's going to be on Tuesday morning at the keynote. So if you're not there, which most of you aren't because you're at work or taking your kids to school or whatever, then you're going to need to get it on the internet. Have a listen to it later on in the week. So you ready?
Yes.
That was rubbish, wasn't it? Are you ready?
Yes.
Come on, how many of you know that response changes everything? How you respond will determine what happens in your life in the next half an hour. Okay, you ready? So just turn to Isaiah chapter 60 and we'll have a look there. We're going to talk about the spirit of advancement this morning. We're going to talk about the spirit of advancement this morning. I'd rather only preach half a message because you're preaching the other half and than me do the whole thing and you sit there wondering what's going to be said next. So be as fully responsive. It's not for my benefit, it's for yours. I don't mind if you sit there quietly. It won't change my life. And how you respond will change your life. Amen. And determines how we do move together as a church. Now, the church is a movement.
Yes, that's right.
It's not a monument. The church is a movement. It's not something to look at, gaze at, and consume. The church is something, it's a movement that takes hold of the things of God and runs with them in any generation of time. And so we're on the move with God. The church is a movement. We're a moving, vibrant body of people that are receiving the living word that is alive, and then we're seeking to apply that into our everyday lives to see what the word of God is given to us for, which is to bear fruit in our own lives, but also in others. So we're a living organism of people taking hold of the living word and applying that in the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives so that we see the reality of what God has written in this book take place in our homes, in our workplace, in society, in the community, in the nation. So this is a living word that is active, a living word that is alive now, a living word that God has spoken over thousands of years that is still in operation right now at this time. And we are living people taking hold of a living word that has already been spoken. We are grabbing hold of that word that has been spoken, taking hold of it by the Spirit and applying it in our own lives, but seeing it downloaded and taken hold of to see it happen today in 2010, 2011, over this next 10, 20, 30 years, this generation of time. Amen. The word of God is living and active. It is powerful. You have a shield of faith in one hand and the sword of the Spirit in the other. When you walk with God like that, you're unstoppable, you're unshakable, you're immovable, because you're holding the word of God up that puts the enemy to flight. You're using the word of the sword of the Spirit that enables you to break through with the word of God. You come into something new, and then you live in that in a victorious way. So today is all about a victorious life. If you're not saying amen yet and somebody is next to you, ask them, shove me, because I need to respond to what God's saying. Or if you are saying amen, you can't hear the person next to you, give them a shove anyway, even before they ask you. Saying, come on, wake up, get a grip, God's speaking to you this morning. Are you all right this morning?
Yes.
Sorry, just feel a little bit alive today. I don't want to chat to you this morning. We're going to preach. Is that all right? So the enemy wants to shut your life down. The enemy wants to make you look at need, look at yourself, live to the world system and fit in with the status quo. But God has a different way of seeing things. So the enemy wants us to be ignorant and passive to what God wants to do. And if we're ignorant and passive, then the enemy has a victory. The enemy then can triumph. But we want to exercise that kingdom authority so that we keep him in a defeated place in our lives, individually and corporately. If we become passive or ignorant of the things of God in any way, that allows the enemy to come in and have a victory in some way. So as we exercise the authority we have as believers in our own lives, which is what God has been doing in a fresh way, with many of the men. That's why when you get into the word in a fresh way, God washes your mind and cleans it up from the thinking that so easily comes in when our minds are not being transformed by the word. That's why we want to feed on the word. When you feed on the word, it keeps your mind clean. It keeps your mind pure. It keeps your thinking in order with the word of God. And so God has been cleaning people's minds in these last few weeks so that our thinking, not just in a meeting or during a preach, or when you listen to something that's on a tape or a CD, tapes, where'd that come from? Show me age there. When you listen to a CD or you're downloading off the internet, That's not the only time that your mind's being clean or the fruitfulness is going to take place. We feed on the word so that our thought life, our thinking is clean, it's pure, it's in line with the word. That's what Pete said. I thought it was brilliant, you know, to memorize the word. You know, when you hear something, you only remember 10% of what you hear. If you hear and see something, you remember 30% of what you hear. If you study something, you remember 50% of what you hear. But if you memorize it, how much do you remember? 100%. So when you memorize the word, what does it do? It goes into your spirit. It becomes part of your spirit, because it's not just a natural memory you're putting in here. You're putting something into your spirit so that it becomes part of the DNA of your spirit. It becomes part of what your spirit looks like. So when you memorize the word, it becomes part of who you are. It shapes your spirit so that when pressures come, opposition comes, negativity comes, circumstances don't line up with what the word says, or sickness is creeping around and you need to get that dealt with, or somebody comes in an opposing way, or the news says this, the paper says that, the financial world says the other, the world system is saying this, you have something that is alive on the inside of you that you begin to draw on, because it's part of your spirit already. It's part of the shape of who you are in God, because the word has been memorized or sown into your spirit, into your life.
Very good.
See, when that happens, your thinking then is determined by what's in your spirit. If you feed your spirit will rule in your life. When you feed in your spirit, it will rule over your feelings. It will rule over the environment. It will rule over somebody else coming towards you in a negative way, because your spirit is stronger than your natural man. Because you've been feeding it. So if you feed your spirit, man, you don't have to try and battle them with the flesh, because you're feeding the things of God into your life rather than fighting the things that aren't of God. Amen? So we want to make sure that we're strong in the things of God. And that's part of what Stronghold was about. God, guys encountering men in his word and his spirit together, and God beginning to impregnate the blokes in the church. So they begin to become pregnant with something that they are carrying. And there's been a breakthrough for probably every guy that at this moment it's more like of an impact of what God has done. And now what we've got to do is walk that out so that without whatever breakthrough has taken place, we then live in the good of it for the rest of our lives, not just for the next bit or whatever. But there's a couple of things. Now Anselm, a few years ago at Faith Camp, a number of sessions that were very, very powerful sessions. Pastor Colin has gone through some of those recently and typed out some key kind of header points that were said during those sessions. And then he's added one or two things as well in there. But it's amazing how what is on this sheet, which we won't give everybody today, but we'll put on the internet and then you can print that out at home, okay, on the off the website. But it's amazing how what was said about 3 years ago, that's right, 3 years ago, is so relevant for now, for today. And the words that were spoken about the church being a church of victory, a church of God's authority, about the kind of kingdom people that God has called us to be on the earth, how we're to really rule and reign as believers, as the body of Christ. That we're not to take the enemies shilly-shallying around and all of that stuff that comes our way, but we're to stand firm in who we are in Christ, who we are as the people of God, who we are as kingdom people, that we're not allowing the enemy to push us around in any way whatsoever, but we rise up understanding the victory that has already been won over the enemy, and that we reinforce that in our lives by the way we speak, the way we think, the way we act, and the way we move as a people. That's why the church is a movement, a body of people moving forcefully with a forceful kingdom. Amen. Now, there's three things that the enemy wants to come against us with. Okay, there are three things. One is limitation. Two is stagnation. And the third one is turning back. Now, the enemy wants to set up barriers in our way. He wants to set up, if you like, strongholds, negative strongholds or opposition to us, to limit us, to stagnate us, and to try and cause us to turn back. Now, we're talking about the spirit of advancement today. The spirit of faith. Because the spirit of faith is the spirit of advancement. The spirit of faith enables you to live a courageous life. Because the spirit of faith is courageous. The spirit of faith will always advance. Because the spirit of faith knows the reality of what God has said is more real than what the natural circumstances say. So when God has spoken, God says it's signed, sealed, and delivered because I have spoken. So we live in a different way than the world system. The world system says you can only act according to what you see. Whereas God's kingdom says, no, 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 no. What you do is you act upon what I say. When you act upon what I say, then you will see that take place. It's a different way of living than the world is living. So the enemy wants to come against us in different ways. He wants to pull us down, tear us down, but we're pulling him down and tearing him down in our lives. It's the other way around. And so he wants to set up limitations. He wants to intimidate us to prevent us from advancing. Because he knows as we advance, he loses ground. What does that mean? He loses grip, strongholds on other people's lives. He loses a hold on a town. He loses a hold on a region or on a nation as the people of God rise up and advance in the purposes of God. The enemy tries to put things in our way because he wants to resist the victory that he knows we already have. And he knows if we act according to the victory that we have in Christ. He knows if we act according to the authority that we have in Christ. He knows if we live the fullness of what he knows we have in Christ. He knows if we believe it and live according to it, then he's got no chance whatsoever coming against us. So the enemy wants to play with your mind because that's all he can do, to say you're limited. There are limitations. You are limited. You're a person. You are not God. Do you really believe that God can work in you in the way that the Bible says? He's always questioning, always putting certain things, shooting across the bows of our lives to try and distract us with flack this way and the other, to try and get us thinking, hang on a minute, well, what did that say? And what did that say? And God say, no, this is what I've said. So he tries to bring limitations, okay? The devil hates it when we rejoice and when we pray, because rejoicing and praising is the language of victory. The devil cannot withstand a praising people. Come on, think about it. You see, if you don't praise God and you go with your feelings, how are you going to feel? Pretty naff. How are you going to act? Pretty negatively. What's the day going to be like? Pretty awful. But there's some simple things here, but it's by faith that we do certain things. Well, everything in the Christian life. When you do something by faith, then your feelings change. Then the circumstances begin to change. Then the facts begin to change to come in line with what the truth is. Amen. So we've been given grace and authority to deal with the enemy, to overcome him and to advance and to move forward, to pull down every barrier of limitation that the enemy seeks to put in place. I want to read you a few verses. You ready? You don't have to turn to them. I'll just read them out to you. Isaiah 60, first few verses. You see, this is how God sees things. All right, let's just read some verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This is God's word, right? See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. Now listen to these promises. Nations will come to you, will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons from afar, your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Now that's God's word. Now does that sound limited or unlimited? Sounds pretty unlimited to me, right? God's word is unlimited. So that's what he's speaking over our lives. Just have a look at Isaiah 54, something we've been looking at recently. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. So he's saying, you've got to do something by faith here. Singing comes before transformation. God honors faith. God honors faith. If God says for you to do something, even if you feel completely opposite to what that word says, but if you say, well, Father, you've said it, so I'm going to act upon it and I'm going to do what you say, what are you doing? You might not feel it, but you're beginning to rise up in faith in that situation because you're choosing to respond to what God is saying. Your feelings will change at some point. But as you respond and say, well, God, you've said it, so even though the feelings or the circumstances say completely opposite, I'm going to do it anyway because you've said it. So as I begin to sing, as I begin to worship, your supernatural power and presence is released. You begin to fulfill what you're saying because you've just said to do it. Praise comes before the blessing. Praise your way into the thing. In situations. But what does it say here? Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. What is God saying here? Fruitfulness. If you sing over where there's no life, it's because I want to release fruitfulness in a place that looks barren. In a place that where there's no life, I want to release fruitfulness into that situation. So as you sing, as you declare, as you speak, as you praise, as you worship, as you get hold of the things where there doesn't seem to be any movement in your life, and you begin to sing and rejoice and worship and praise me over those, as you lift my name and my word over those situations, things will begin to change because you're singing of life where there isn't any. You're speaking something that is opposite to the circumstances, and they must change because you're releasing life into it. Amen. So we're rising up at this time. No more faffing around as Kingdom Faith Church, all right? We had this word in September. If you're not singing yet, then you need to repent and get singing over situations. Honestly, God spoke to us, what, beginning of September from Isaiah 54 for about 3 weeks in a row. And he says something because he wants to do something. But he says something for us to do something so that then he can do something. So if you're barren in some area in your life, you're not seeing something happen, get in a room, stand there and begin to worship God over that whole situation. Your feelings will say, what a waste of time. Your mind's going, you're an idiot. The news will tell you something else. The financial system will tell you something different. But if God says, do this, something's going to happen. Now what happens as a result? Enlarge the place of your tent, he says. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. This is what happens when you begin to sing. When you begin to make space for God to do something in your life, something begins to happen. He's promising loads of stuff. Look at this. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their... Does that sound limited or unlimited? Why is God saying to sing? Because he wants to move all the limitations out of the way and release his unlimited source of life and power and supply into our life and into others' lives. So he's saying, as you sing, you're tapping into the unlimited. As you worship, you're tapping into the unlimited.
Come on.
Then he says, don't be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated or limited or whatever. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Right. See, why does he say that? He encourages us because he knows all the feelings of everything else are going to be going on in us at that moment. Other people that haven't caught what you've caught or heard what you've heard, they're going to say, what is that all about? But because you've heard something, because you've got something on the inside of you, and you begin to respond to it, it doesn't matter what other people say, because God says in his word, look, do it. Look, don't worry, you're not going to be disgraced. You're not going to be humiliated. Don't be afraid of anything, because I've told you to do something. And even though people at first might say, you're an idiot, that's stupid, you can't believe that, how on earth is God going to do that through you, or you lot, or whatever? That's where, well, let's just keep going anyway, because God will prove himself sooner or later in any kind of situation. So he's saying, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's unlimited. He's saying, sing, O barren woman. Sing over whatever is not fruitful. And my unlimited source of whatever we need in situations is released to see him fulfill what he's doing. What else has he said? There's loads of stuff from Joshua. A couple of verses from 1 Corinthians 6 where he talks about his favour, about his salvation. Let's have a look. Just very quickly, read this for a moment. It says here, in the time of my favour, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. But then it's emphasised, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, and now is the day of salvation. So what's God saying? When the enemy says limitation, what does God say? When the enemy says, no, there's no favor today. You're not spiritually there yet. See, well, that's what the enemy says. You're not good enough yet. You haven't proved yourself enough to God. You haven't prayed enough, read the Bible enough. You haven't been to enough meetings. You haven't heard enough preaches. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't sought the Lord enough. You're not there yet. You don't feel like you're there, do you? That's what he says, isn't it? But he kind of says it in a way that is, you don't really feel there, do you? I mean, you really believe that? I mean, can God really be unlimited through your life? Because look at it. You're not perfect. You're not really sorted. Still got a few bad attitudes. You got a bit nasty with that person there. You're a bit grouchy there, and you're not perfect. How can God use you? You're limiting God because of who you are. See, that's the lie of the enemy, isn't it? It's the lie of constantly. You're limiting God because of who you are. And that's why God constantly is encouraging us. Saying, don't look at who you are, because you is dead. But you're alive in me. So in me, you are unlimited. In me, you have been made right with me. You're perfect. You're holy before me. Therefore, you can rise up with faith, with confidence, and deal with the enemy. And that's why today is a day of favor. Because God has said it. It's not because you've said it, I've said it, we've come up with it. It's because God has said it. Now is the time of favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now that sounds unlimited to me. Number two, we need to move on. Number two, stagnation. The enemy wants to stagnate us in our lives. Let's have a quick look at Deuteronomy. There's a great verse in here that's in these notes here. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is all to do with the land, which is God has been talking to us about. What's the time? Find Deuteronomy. Where is it? There it is. Right. Yeah, somewhere. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Ammonites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take is the most important word there. You can have a breakthrough, but you've got to take hold of it. God can say, I've given it to you, but you've got to take hold of it. I can give you loads of money, but unless you take hold of it and do something with it, it's no good to you. It doesn't mean anything. £1 million in your hand doesn't mean anything unless you take hold of it and use it and do something with it. So the enemy wants to stagnate us. He says, you've had a breakthrough, you're in the promised land, you've something great's been happening the last few months, but just stay there for a while, encamp and enjoy it. And God's saying, no, what I'm saying is move out from where you have been, continue to move forward because you're not going round the mountain once again. For years, we've been on the edge of different things over the years as Kingdom Faith. And what God is saying, now is the time for the ending of going around the mountains. Now is the time of going into and possessing everything that I've been speaking about. That's why over the last few months, God has been talking to us about crossing over and coming into a new generation of time. Because now is the time of His favor and now is the day of His salvation. So it's it. We're here. We're here. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Honestly, your response determines where you're sitting. Not in the building, but it's in your spirit. I can't, I can try and do something, but only the Holy Spirit can put something into you. All right. And you run with something in your life and apply it in your life. Amen. So the enemy wants us to stagnate. When I was praying through this, I thought, what would be the worst scenario of stagnation to God? And the first thought that came into mind was a bowl of custard with skin on it. I mean, if you're visiting here, I love custard, okay? The worst thing you could do with custard is let it go cold and a skin get on it. It stagnates. So what have you got to do with custard? You eat it when it's warm, it's hot, it's runny, it's creamy, and that's the right time to eat. So you move forward, you advance in your custard eating by eating it when it's the right temperature. And you don't let it stagnate with skin on the top, and then you have to peel the skin off, and then it goes all blobby underneath because you've got skin on the top, and then you have to either chuck it away or heat it up, and it's just a mess. So once you've made the stuff and you heat it up, that's the best time to use it. Now. And that's what God does. He works in our life now, not so that it can just sit there and become like a bowl of custard that stagnates. So I had to get it in somehow today, all right? I've got a covenant with the Lord that every time I speak, somehow I'll bring in custard to the scenario. Me and him have got a deal. It's, you know, it's the anointing for custard eating. Somebody's got to have that anointing on the earth, right? Everybody's anointed to eat something. I'm anointed to eat custard, all right? So you won't find it in the Bible, but you might in the new one I'm going to do. The dodgy translation of the gospel according to custard eating or something like that will do. I know it's a bit of a funny, at least you'll remember this anyway, but custard is supposed to be eaten when it's hot, when it's made. You got to agree with me, all right, this morning. Just at least nod, even if you don't. But just go, yeah, hallelujah. You don't leave it to get cold, because it gets blobby and horrible with a big skin on the top. When God works in our life, it's because he wants us to live it. Use what he does in our life. He wants us to use what he has given us. Not let it stagnate and get a skin on it. The enemy wants us to stagnate. He wants us to resist us. But there's a great little thing in here. Persistence overcomes resistance. And so we get spiritual victories, which we then see worked out in our natural lives. You know, we live a spiritual life, which is contrary to the world. We talk about spiritual things that are crazy to the world. But there's a spiritual reality. When we get a spiritual victory, we will see the earthly reality. And that's why we've got to be people of the Spirit. And lots of people aren't saved, don't understand those kind of things, all right? But we establish victory in prayer, so we come against the enemy. The enemy hates prayer because he knows the power and the authority that is released through prayer when people believe the authority that they have in God to continue to advance, and the enemy knows he's going to lose ground. Let's have a look at the third one because of time. The third one was turning back. What does the enemy want you to do? He wants us to concentrate on failures, whether past or present. He says, look at your history. Look at your past. How can God use you because of what you've been like? Or look at your experience. It hasn't lined up with what God has said. So if you haven't seen everything God has said, what makes you think that you are going to see it now or in the future? That's how the enemy works, isn't it? So he plays with our minds all the time. You haven't seen victory there, so how are you going to see it today, let alone next week? Or he says, look over your shoulder and look how good it used to be back there. Why don't you go back there and enjoy what you used to be like or how things used to be? And the enemy always wants to connect us with our past or with failure. But how many of you know that moving forward has actually got nothing to do with your past? Because God puts a clean line in your life and separates you from your past in terms of the sin and all of that. I don't mean memories of your family and the good stuff in life and that sort of thing. But in terms of your salvation, God draws a line and says, the old is gone. It's history. You're not connected to that anymore. You're now connected to something completely different. You're connected now to a hope and a future. You're now connected to all of the possibilities there are in me. You're connected to forgiveness. You're connected to righteousness. You're connected to holiness. You're connected to my mercy, to my grace. You're connected to my life who is in you. You're connected to my power. You're connected to my kingdom because it's in you right now. So you can't live according to that. You can only live according to what you're connected to now. And so Israel were in the wilderness and they were looking back. And God said, now don't look back. I want you to connect with where I'm taking you. The disciples, once Jesus had gone up, they ended up going back fishing. What did they do? They went back. Because they suddenly felt like, hang on, Jesus is gone. Where's he gone? We're not connected to our past any longer. We're not connected to failure any longer. We're connected to his purpose, his victory. Yes, success, but his victory. That's what we're connected to. And so there's a couple of things we need to do. Firstly, we need to refuse. You need to have a refusing attitude towards the enemy. You need to refuse to live under oppression and under his influence. We are now citizens of God's kingdom. We're not citizens of another kingdom. We are now citizens of God's kingdom. Therefore, we refuse the enemy's attempts to try and move us to the left or to the right, to be under any oppression or his influence. What we want to do now as kingdom people is we take hold of the purposes of God. We take hold of the promises of God. It's a decision that you and me, I have to make them every day of my life. We all face stuff all of the time. I personally, you know, you get bombarded all day with stuff from the enemy. Negativity, this isn't working, that should be better, and the church isn't this, and the church isn't that, and la-da-da-da-da, you know, and the enemy's constantly like that. And I can sit there and go, oh my word, you know, and get cheesed off. Or it's like, well, that's a lie, that's not what God says. So I'm going by what God says. Now, I might not see the fullness of what he says, but unless I go with what God says, I will not see the fullness of what he says. If I just go by the enemy, I'll never see anything happen. So I'd rather take hold of the things of God and move into them more and more and more. And even if I don't ever see them all before I die, somebody else is going to come after and see them take place. So we want to refuse the enemy's oppression and influence because we're citizens of God's kingdom. We're laying hold of a different kingdom. We're taking hold of the miracles and the inheritance by force. That's not a word that lots of Christians like. We take hold of the promises of God by force. Faith is forceful. But that's why God clothes faith in love. Faith on its own is... But faith comes in the glove of love, if you like, and enables... Well, that's what it says in Galatians, that faith working through love. Then another thing, what do we need to do? We then need to pray, demolish the enemy's attempts over our lives, okay? But also, what's the other thing we need? We can say a lot about prayer, but we haven't got enough time. The third thing, so first we need to have a refusing attitude towards the enemy and towards feelings and emotions and things that try and dominate. Refusing to the world's system and ways of thinking. We're bombarded, newspapers on the telly and everything, with the world situation and system. Man, that's why we've got to constantly, the amount of stuff that goes in here all day, everything people say at work and the conversations, that's why constantly we've got to feed on that, because what is in here will determine what comes out of there, what is going on in here and how you deal with situations. So we need to refuse to have that kind of attitude. We need to pray. The third thing is we need a victory mindset. A victory mindset is an overcoming mindset. A victory mindset says enough is enough. A victory mindset says I do not have to put up with that because I'm connected to something else. A victory mindset, here's an expiry date and it is today towards that situation. That is a victory mindset. On that situation, there is an expiry date written and it is today, the 7th of March, and it doesn't go any further. So that situation has gone off today because I have a victory mindset because that's what God says. So let's stand together, shall we? You've got authority, you've got power, you've got victory in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You're called to rule and to reign. You're not called to be a victim or subject to the enemy's activity. You have a victorious spirit on the inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to live by your feelings, by your emotions, by circumstances. You don't have to have your life route the enemy because we have a spirit of victory. You're not connected to your past any longer. You're now connected to a kingdom that is going forward. So if you're part of a kingdom going forward, how can you retreat? Amen. So we're going to just rise up in faith right now. We're going to cut off every limitation that is seeking to intimidate us, pull us down, hold us back. Limitations in our thinking. Well, I've not seen that, so how can I believe it? You need to cut off the limitation first and say, well, I choose today an expiry date on that way of thinking. Because I've not seen it, it can't happen. No. What we've got to do is stop that thinking for then God's thinking to come into play in our lives. God's growing us up as believers. It's great to hear these guys earlier on, the testimonies. It's like there's a depth, there's a maturing, there's a taking hold of. There is a they devoted themselves taking place in these blokes' lives because they're saying God has been speaking to me. Something's gone into my spirit. God has taken hold of me. Something has happened in me because something's happened. I'm living out of something that's going on in me. I'm not dependent on somebody else's walk with God. So now there's been a breakthrough. We take hold of that and now live in it and walk in it and move in it. Amen. So let's take hold of every limitation. God's word says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. The nations are going to come to you in terms of salvations, in terms of resources, in terms of people, in terms of finances. He says, sing, O barren woman. He says, make space for me. Enlarge the place of your tent. As you do that, your descendants are going to dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. He says, now is the day of favor. Now is the day of salvation. He's saying, it's unlimited. The possibilities of who I am in you and what you can see take place. So right now, let's just cut off every limitation where you've said, I don't know if God can do that. Cut that off now because he can and he's purposed to do what he's going to do through your life. You are connected to an unlimited supply of life, God's life this morning. If you've had a sickness mentality, cut that off this morning. I take hold of that sickness mentality. I tear it down now in the name of Jesus. I am not a sick person. I'm not a walking wounded person. My identity is health and wholeness, and I choose now for my mind to be cleansed and washed with God's word, saying that he is my healer. He is my health. He is the one that restores me right now. So I'm not a sick person any longer, but I'm a healed, whole, healthy person. I take hold of that and speak that over my body right now. I command the symptoms to leave my body. I command sickness to go right now. I command every infirmity to leave right now. I command every limitation to go from my body. I command my body to be healthy, to be whole, to line up with the healer who is on the inside of me right now. I take hold of everything that God has taken hold of me for now in Jesus' name. Negative thinking, let's get rid of it. Get rid of negative thinking where I always see the negative before the positive. I take hold of that wrong way of thinking. I tear it down now in Jesus' name. I am not a limited person. I'm not a negative person. I'm a positive person because I'm a person of the Word. Because I have God in my life. Because I have the Holy Spirit in me. Therefore, I can be positive. I can live according to the Word. I can see His Word before I see the situation. I choose today to act upon God's Word. Instead of the circumstances or the news or somebody else's opinion, I choose to take hold of the word from today and apply it in my life to establish the victory and the breakthrough so that I live and walk and breathe in that and see the fruit of it from today onwards. I take hold of the limitation of thinking that says, I've not seen these things happen in my life, so how can they happen? We want to be like Mary, that when the angel turned up and said that you're going to conceive from the Holy Spirit, she believed. She wasn't questioning, I don't believe that, that's ridiculous. She was saying, well, how can I be pregnant? She was asking a question in faith. Wow, how can that be? Not, oh, that's ridiculous. It was, how can that be? Because I've not slept with a man. So it's obviously going to happen in another way. And at that moment, I believe that's when she got pregnant, when she believed. When you believe, you receive the seed of faith. When she believed, that's when the Holy Spirit put the seed of Jesus into her womb at that moment. And it just started with a seed. She probably didn't feel anything at that moment. She didn't feel pregnant. She didn't suddenly, boom, have a big bump out in front of her. But you know, when God puts his seed, the seed of his word in you, you might not feel anything. Sometimes you can get a witness. Yep, that's it. I've heard from God. That's it. Now, that witness is different than a feeling. That's called a witness. It's not the feeling of the Holy Spirit. It's a witness. It's a yes from the Holy Spirit. It's the voice in your spirit going, yes, that's it. So today, let's cut off the limitations. It says, I've not seen it, so it can't be possible. Let's deal with that right now. If you know, it's like, well, I want to see loads of people saved, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know if God's going to use me or all this stuff. We're seeing people saved, but we talk about seeing loads of people saved. Well, I've not seen it, so let's park that thinking. So, right, from today onwards, I'm not going to restrict, limit God because I haven't seen it. But now I'm going to open up to the unlimited measure of God so that I can step into seeing and living in everything that he has said. So just tear down that limited thinking. I just tear off the limited thinking that says, I've not seen it, so it can't happen. I tear that down now in Jesus' name. And now I step into the unlimited measure of what God says, because what God says is what I'm going to live in and then see as I act upon it. So, Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith this morning being released in a greater measure in my life so that I live according to what you say and not what I see or have seen. So we thank you, Jesus. Right now, let's just come against stagnation in the name of Jesus. Anywhere in your life where you know you've stagnated, things have gone off, they've gone moldy, they've become to be blobby and just they've got a skin over them. We're going to peel the skin off right now. So in the name of Jesus, we take the skin of stagnation off our lives right now in any way, shape or form. Spiritually stagnant, maybe we've gone off the boil, we've just got bored, or we got tired, or we got lazy, we got apathetic. We just remove that stagnation right now. Father, we repent wherever, ask the Lord to forgive you if you need to. I repent of being stagnant. I repent of getting lazy. I repent of getting bored. I repent, God, of becoming passive and apathetic. I peel that off my life right now in Jesus' name. And I open up my life in a fresh way for the movement of your Holy Spirit so that I don't live in stagnation, but I live in movement and persistence, overcoming every resistance to that stagnation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, last thing here, you're not a product of your past. You're not a product of your past. You're now a produce of God who is in you. So we just cut off right now any thinking that says you're a failure. Just cut it off right now. I'm not a failure because that's my past and I've been cut off from that in the name of Jesus. Today I am fruitful and I'm a person of victory because that is what God sings over my life. That is what God declares over my life. So I'm actually a person of victory and a person of fruitfulness. So I choose now to live from that place from today onwards. That's what I'm going to sing. That's what I'm going to speak. That's how I'm going to pray from today onwards. I'm not praying from lack or need or negativity. I'm praying from a place of victory, of overcoming, and of fruitfulness today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. So I choose to refuse from today onwards to be oppressed by the enemy. Come on, guys. You need to rise up. Some of you live under oppression, and God's saying, refuse to live there from today onwards. Refuse to believe what the enemy says about your worth, about what you look like, what you feel like. Say, devil, I refuse from today to live under any lie, any oppression, any ill feeling. I choose to come out of that right now because I have been created in Christ Jesus. I am his workmanship. Therefore, I've been created holy, perfect, blameless in his sight. So I am not a victim any longer. I am a victor. I'm an overcomer. I am a person who has a completely changed life because of who Christ is in me from today onwards. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. So we've been praying and dealing with the enemy. Now there's a victory mindset. Your victory mindset is, I am an overcomer. That's who you are. That is God's description of you. The angel walked into the wine press and said, Gideon, you mighty warrior. He's like, who are you talking to? And the angel said, I'm talking to you. I don't know whether he was afraid in there or not. He was doing something good, trying to get some food for his people. But God said, I've got another purpose for you. You can't stay, you can't live in the wine press. I've got something more for you than this. But you've got to come out of limitation. You've got to come out of stagnant. You've got to come out of where you, and you've got to step into some destiny with me. And God began to reveal himself to Gideon. He began to know him over a very short space of time. And instead of then fleecing the Lord and, if it's you, show me that. If it's you, show me this. To the point where God could say something, he just did it. Why? Because he knew God. He heard God's voice speaking to him. Amen. So you're a person of victory today. Just turn to a couple of other people and say, you're a person of victory. I'm a person of victory. That means we're unstoppable.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.